Hello, listener. This is Bob Fox from GreedAndMining.com, and today I have the privilege to have Glenn Neely, the expert in NeoWay, as well as Neely River Technology. Glenn, how are you doing today?
Doing good. It's been a while. We're sort of off our normal schedule.
Sure. And I think today what I'd like to discuss with you is kind of free flow in general about trading. Personally, I've been trading since 2009, and I see my own self have several paradigm shifts in trading and trading psychologies. And I find quite a bit of similarities between how you shift from just a pure forecaster for NeoWay and then discover the Neely River technology that you utilize in your trading service now. Can we maybe talk about something in that direction?
Yeah, it sounds like you're starting to make some realizations on your own that forecasting sometimes can be problematic for good trading, because when you're focusing on a forecast, you tend to only look at the rainbow and the great ending to your trade that you're hoping will happen. It's more of an idealistic perspective on trading than the real-world dangers involved with trading. So, that's something that took me over 15 years to begin to make that transition and realize, and it sounds like you're getting there a lot quicker than I did.
Well, I think my own trading journey, in the beginning, you try to learn all the mechanics and terminology and various indicators, and of course in the beginning of a trading you try to be on a holy grail quest of that that wonderful indicator that's never going to be wrong or
everybody wants that when you first start.
Yeah, exactly. So I went through that, and then I thought, well, if I can somehow forecast the market, because obviously that holy grail quest was a failure. And I realized that, market condition changes all the time. So my next quest was to try to really be very good at market analysis. So, every day during market, after market, I study the market, I study a chart, and I analyze it with all kind of market internal indicator, breadth, VIX, all kind of things to try to find that edge to tell me what the market will do tomorrow before I trade. And
right.
I spend tons of time doing that. And, of course, once in a while I get it right and I feel great. And then when I don't get it right, sometimes I lose quite a bit because I was fairly certain that's what the market was going to do. And then I kind of realized, well, that's not what trading is all about. Trading was about risk management. And then I kind of go into another shift of try to really manage my risk and understanding that the market can do just about anything.
Right.
And that's when I finally start working on my trading psychology. And it's really interesting when I really reflect on my entire journey. The first thing that a trader should work on is the psychology, but usually traders tend to get hurt a lot. Or, have a few account blown, and then they realize that it's really much of quite a bit is in the mental and how you manage yourself.
Well, it's sort of like a microcosm of life. I mean, most people want everything that happens to them, all the problems they experience in life, to be somebody else or something else's fault and not their own. And, the reality is it's your life is pretty much the result of the decisions you make as you go through your life for the most part. I mean, there's things that can happen like tornadoes and hurricanes and earthquakes and out of the realm of anyone's control, but generally it goes in the direction based on the decisions you make over a lifetime. And trading is the same way. It goes based on the decisions you personally make. It's not the market causing the problem. It's not other people. It's not the Federal Reserve. It's not, them that are controlling the markets that we don't know who they are. It's just the decisions you make. And it mostly boils down to, are you managing risk properly? And are you not letting your expectations influence too much about what you're doing, that your focus is mostly on limiting risk initially on entry, getting risk to zero as quickly as possible, and then letting the world take the market wherever it's going to go and making sure you're trying to capture as much of whatever profit you make as possible in an unemotional, objective kind of way. And as you said earlier, that's what the whole Neely River concept was about, is trying to objectify, automate the process of trading so it gets it out of the realm of opinions, emotions, psychology, and focuses merely on a logical, non-forecasting based technology for entering, placing stops, moving stops, identifying targets, you know, having what I call aggressive stops. So as you make more money, your stops get more and more aggressive to lock in more profit. And that's really what's made all the difference for me. You know, my trading in the last 10 years, especially maybe the last 5 years, is dramatically better than it was in the first 5, 10, 15 years of my career. So it's all the result of this shift in focus away from forecasting as much as possible and more toward technology, style, strategy, risk management, and not about what I think the market's going to do.
Yes. In fact, you know, I've been utilizing your service either it's 2009 or 2010, and I'm not sure the exact year that you started the Neely River technology. And
well, I was doing it sort of in the background in a, you know, fuzzy kind of mixed river theory, wave theory kind of way. But it became much more dominant in probably 2008, 2009 and forward, and really probably around 2010, 2011, I began to incorporate it a great deal into the service, and it became an integral part of the service. And now it's probably the dominant part of my service, as wave theory gives me the direction, but it doesn't give me any of the specifics of the trade. It's almost exclusively river theory now that dictates how we're going to get in, where we're going to place our stops, and which time frames we're going to trade. All that's much more mechanically and logically determined, not emotionally and forecasting determined.
Yes. In fact, you know, I personally see the a major shift in your service and the articles or the information you provide to your customers. You know, for me being your customers for many years, I realized that as well, because in the beginning you very much focus on just based on the forecasting. And sometimes it's really just dead on. And of course, when it's wrong, it's wrong. And then now it's more the forecasting is very much more like 20%. You use that as a way of saying, okay, perhaps the market is going to do this, but you will not recommend your customers to enter a trade unless you get some kind of confirmation in your Neely River technology and to say this is how you're supposed to enter the market.
Right.
And
like, for example, I had several people recently who wrote to me, said, well, you know, you think this B wave is going to go back up, you know, toward the high. So it's maybe a few weeks ago. Why don't we trade the B wave rally? And I said, well, you know, this wasn't a public pronouncement. This was private emails. So, well, you know, it's because B waves are very unpredictable. You don't know how long they're going to last. You don't know how big they're going to get. And I don't know whether it's going to make a new all-time high or not, which I said it could. So it makes it very dangerous to trade B-wave. So I skipped the whole B-wave. And then they started saying, well, you know, if we're not going to exceed the high, or if it's only 50-50 chance it might break the all-time high, which it did today and yesterday, I think, then why don't we just go short now because the risk is really low? I said, well, because the chances are, you know, pretty good that it's going to break the high. And so I don't want to put a stop there and go short before and make a pretty good chance we're going to be stopped out. If I had taken that trade, we would have been stopped out. So when it comes to wave theory, the way I incorporate it with river theory, I'm only interested in trading the impulsive or trending waves. I'm only interested in trading wave 1, 3, 5, A or C or E. I'm not interested in trading two waves and fourth waves and B waves and D waves and X waves, because they're just too dangerous. They're all counter trend. You don't know exactly when they're going to finish. You don't know how long they're going to take a lot of times. You don't know what structure they're going to take on. And they don't give you a lot of potential because they're going against a bigger trend in the other direction. So you might go up 100 and the downtrend will only be half of that or a quarter of that. So it's sort of stupid because you're not going with where the big potential is.
Right.
So I always avoid trading B waves, D waves, X waves, two waves, and four waves. And I'm only interested in trading 1, 3, 5, A, or C as a general rule. And so now that we're potentially getting close to the C wave starting of what I think is this current ABC correction, I might consider going short, but still I think it's risky because the downside isn't that great. And the really good trade is probably going to be the next buy signal after the psychology gets pretty scary and negative during the next decline. But you have to weigh, you know, what's the risk reward based, at least the way I'm doing it, what's the risk reward based on wave theory? How much potential is there compared to the risk? And then I look at river theory to give me the criteria of how to enter, where to place the stops specifically, how to move the stops. And it's really in the stop movement and the targeting that is objective with river theory, and it's extremely difficult with wave theory to know how to raise your stops while the market's trending and where to target your exit, because there's almost no way to know when the trend's coming to an end until after it's over, and there's no way to know which lows are really the right corrective lows to put as stops, because you don't know if it's the first phase of an ABC or if it's the end of an ABC, or there's a lot of things that just can't be known until after the fact. So I find it very difficult to manage a trade once you're in with wave theory. I only use wave theory to give me the direction, and then everything else is determined much more scientifically and objectively with river theory. And I assume that's sort of the direction you're heading also.
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to become as mechanical as possible. And
how are you doing that?
I mean, it's doing great. I don't even pay attention. Basically, I spend about 2-3 hours in the morning day trading. If I catch one major trend for the day, I mean, since I'm a day trader, so my time frame is a little different than the service that you provide, but I use that as more of a guideline. So if I get, you know, a one trend, basically a one move for the day, then I'm basically down for the day. Previously, how I do it, I would literally watch the regular hours, the aftermarket hours, and I would read all kind of articles about market analysis and how things are supposed to go, and I hear all kind of opinions, you know, what people think, and it was so stressful. And right now, my life has been simplified. It's just so, I mean, it's really relaxing. It's either I get hit by my daily stop limit, which I have a certain percentage I wanted to. I'm willing to lose, and when I lose that, I'm done for the day. Then the next day is a brand new day, and someday I don't even trade if it's really choppy.
Right.
And so, you know, it's been really quite a journey to get to a point. But I think for someone who just getting started or still struggling with that, you really have to take that self, paradigm shift to get to the point that they realize it, that it's not that complicated. They shouldn't make it so complicated. I mean, trading's not easy, but it's fairly simple if you have certain type of rule on how you're supposed to get into the market and how you're supposed to get out. And if you follow that to the T over a long run, it's similar to playing pokers or
as long as you manage risk.
Yeah. That's right. You have some kind of odds that you manage that. And
Yeah. That's been my experience too. I mean, I used to spend when I thought wave theory was the magic answer to everything, and that, you know, as long as I could predict the markets, I'd make a lot of money. And it took me about 15 years to realize that wasn't true. That once I got past that and started to let the market do more of the dictating to tell me when to move stops, and then I became more of a reactionary trader, not a forecasting trader. So I didn't worry about as much of what I thought was going to happen as much as what I could prove has already happened. So when I trade now, it's what has happened today that allows me to do something different about my current position. So like right now we're long T notes. And according to river theory, if we have an up day, not today, but tomorrow, if we have an up day tomorrow, then I'm going to be able to raise our stop well above break even to about 124.17. So I'm not anticipating that I'm going to be able to raise the stop there. I'm waiting for the market to do something that then tells me it's okay to do what I was waiting to do. I wasn't predicting it to happen. I was waiting for it to happen. And that's a completely different approach from what most people do. They spend all the time trying to think what's going to happen, and they take action on what has not been proven to be reality. It's just a supposition.
Yeah, and that's also how I think my trading style has changed too. Before that, I'm very much of a top and bottom pickers.
Right, and anticipatory. Course, you're anticipating.
That's right. And of course, you know, sometimes getting to a good trade and it's phenomenal, right? Because you know you hit on the spot, but
that doesn't happen too often, right?
Exactly, the probability of that it's not as high. So now I tend to be a trend trader now, where I try to get in. I would never make the most money and get a beginning of a few ticks or the last few ticks, but I try to get the middle of the meat, and that has also changed my life in terms of stress level as well. Because before that, the multiple stopped out, it does some kind of psychological hindrance to your ability to feel good about your trading, and now it's a little different.
You know, most people, when they're new to the business, they're so into the forecasting and they so desperately want to make money that they think every day is going to be the day the market's going to have a massive move, right?
Yeah.
And that's going to be the day they're going to make a killing. They spend all their time dealing with and planning for and trading for an event that's extremely rare instead of the more likely, which not much is going to happen. Most of the time, not much happens, right? And it reminds me of not a client, but a cohort of mine who I, you know, guarantee you for probably almost 10 continuous years has every week, every day, every month thought this is going to be the month or the day of the week that the market's going to crash and that the whole world's going to hell.
I know what that is, but okay.
It's not who you think it is. It's been his relentless assumption. And, you know, we talk by email on a pretty regular basis, and I just keep telling him, you know, you can't get massive market moves no matter what you think, no matter how bad the statistical analysis is, no matter how lopsided the banking system gets or the credit, you know, margin ratios get, no matter what's going on, until the public is obviously involved in the market, no major top or bottom can ever happen that I've ever seen in my lifetime. You know, you always need extreme fear or extreme optimism. The public's talking about it. It's on the news. People are involved. It's in the newspapers. It's on local television, either good or bad, one or the other. And if there's not much talk, like right now, none of my friends are talking about the stock market virtually at all. You know,
yeah.
And I'm talking about outside the realm of people in the business. You go out to parties and stuff, nobody talks about the stock market. You watch the local news, virtually no mention of the stock market. So we can't be at the end of anything serious yet. They've got to be involved, because the only way the big traders can get out of their positions is if the unprofessional amateurs get into long positions. So a necessary part of that phenomenon is you've got to create buzz and interest, which is sort of like advertising, and that advertising is free, but it catches on with the public, and as some people in the public start making more money, they start telling their friends, and those friends might get involved, and they start making money, they tell their friends, and eventually it creates this momentum of action and involvement that then is picked up by the news media and the papers, because they're feeding them the information they want to hear. And if the market is a very popular thing among a lot of people, then the media is going to start talking about it, and the papers and the news and magazines will start talking about it because they know people want to hear about it. But until they're all involved and all participating, you can't have a major stock market top or bottom. So I've told them for years, I said, it's just not there yet. There just is not enough involvement. You know, once in a while there was a juncture where it might be happening, and then I take a short-term chance, but then it goes away for months or a year or more. And then we get to another juncture where it might be happening. But at this juncture right now, in my opinion, there clearly is not enough excitement, even though he keeps quoting me all these statistics about how overbought we are and how there's, you know, so much margin debt in the market, and sends me charts about that. And I say, well, all that's fine, but the final missing part, which always has to be in place, is the psychology of the market. And there has to be a lot of excitement for a major top. There has to be a lot of fear and depression at a major bottom. And we are not there yet.
Yeah, I would say the major top that I personally experienced was 1999, 2000, the NASDAQ stock. and that's the time where everybody was talking about it, and news is always talking about some.com that has negative earning and still trading at crazy price. And I suspect that's kind of the level of excitement you're talking about for a potential market top then, Glenn?
My experience is that until the local media stations and local newspapers start talking about us on market, you're not at the end. It almost always will involve low-level, non-financially oriented publications and news shows to finally mention the stock market on a relatively regular basis with some level of excitement and, you know, making new highs every day for the last year, every month for the last year, just where there's some giddiness or excitement or optimism down on the local newspaper and local television level. That's when you create enough involvement by the unexperienced and amateur public investor to create a top or a bottom in the market. And we don't have that yet. And the minute you start seeing that is generally when the beginning of the end is near. And these are all the turns that I've experienced in my life. You mentioned 1999. Well, I've experienced in 1982 pessimism, actually the 1966 through 72 through 82 period where there was the peak in 66. I was alive then, but, you know, just as a kid. But I experienced the 80-82 pessimism period very clearly, the 87 top, the 88-89 bottom, the 95 period of pessimism before I think some war broke out then. I can't remember exactly what happened. And then obviously the dot-com peak in 2000, the 2002 low, the 2007 high, the 2009 low, and now, you know, the current period where I think sometime in the next 3-6 months we're going to create another major market top. So I've experienced 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 major tops and bottoms total in my career. And from all those experiences, I can say we just don't have the kind of broad-based interest we need in the market to create a top yet. I think it's going to happen later this year, but we're just not there yet.
Sure.
Well, you want to call it a day? I think that was just a nice little general conversation on nothing in particular, but hopefully...
Sure. Well, Glenn, no, I think some of those conversations will perhaps in some regard might be even more useful to most traders than, some kind of analysis about gold or stock market, because at the end of the day, everybody who get involved is try to be successful, and how do you become successful is to be a better trader. And,
hopefully we can lead them away from the holy grail route and wasting 5 or 10 years trying to find the holy grail.
Exactly, because I think you and I, as well as many other traders, have already gone through that, and perhaps some of those new traders that they can realize that maybe they are in the wrong path, and hopefully they can eventually work on something in terms of psychology or risk management.
Right, and help speed up their learning process.
That's right. Well, Glenn, I really appreciate it, and looking forward to chat with you next time.
Okay, I appreciate it. I'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, thank you. Bye.